Hello and welcome to the Echo Chamber podcast, and more importantly, welcome to the Tortoise Shack, tortoiseshack.ie, because this is day one of the general election, and we are going to be bringing you as much coverage as we can across our podcasts, across our website, and across our blogs and our Twitter feeds and everything else. So we're kicking things off. As long as Martin's still upright, he'll be with me as well along the way. Martin, how are you?
Not too bad, Tony. Look, before we get stuck into this, we're going to do a lot of coverage on this. As Tony said, we'll be doing some live shows as well. We need patrons to come on board to keep as much of this coverage going as we can. Please sign up to the Patreon account. It's www.patreon.com/tortoiseshack. Tony.
No, I just want to echo that. Honest to God, guys, this is going to be a tough few weeks in terms of what we're trying to actually deliver. And we're going to actually do a lot of exclusive stuff for patrons. So it'll be we will throw some stuff in there. I'm going to have to take some unpaid leave at this stage just to cover it off.
First thoughts, Tony. The election has been called. What about the manner of the election? What do you think the way it was called?
Well, it's funny because we know there was no choice but to call the election. The government.
That's worth remembering. There was a motion due Wednesday for no confidence in Simon Harris. So this is a disorderly exit.
Yeah. Well, it's been repackaged as it was at the Taoiseach's under his power. It wasn't. That power was taken away from him when he lost members of the Independent Alliance, and he lost members who are actually sitting in government who said, we won't vote with you. So no, he had no choice. And whatever spin they want to put on it.
Fianna Fáil lost the abstinent vote as well, in that some of their members were going to vote in favour and had voiced that they were going to vote in favour of a no confidence.
Yeah, but I think that was always inevitable. I mean, Fianna Fáil have been agitating for this. They've just been waiting, and they kind of think, maybe spring is the time to do it. I would say, and what's important from my point of view, is how it's been framed, and I'm very disappointed with some of the framing on it, because I'm hearing another podcast spoke exclusively in terms of it's Leo versus Micheál. And we're going to finish this podcast today with an excellent interview with João Pina in the Portuguese Socialist Party, who were the governing party, the party of rule in there, and they're in a coalition of left-wing parties that have successfully actually done what we're being told can't be done here, that you can't have left unity, that you can't have these things because they fall out over small, who's anti-EU, who's pro-EU. Well, what actually united them was the idea of that we want to tackle poverty.
Yeah, and it's worth remembering that in the last general election, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael combined got 49.8% of first preference votes. And it's worth remembering that the majority of the country voted first preference for anybody but Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael. Now, that trend has been there. It's been going on since sort of the mid-80s, the decline in the support for Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. And there's no reason to think that that won't continue in this election.
I think that the opinion polls put them at a joint about 55%, which is still hardly, you don't want to talk margin of error on two parties.
It's within the margin of error. Yeah, it is, yeah.
But in terms of, again, the left, it's all right for us, and this is not. I don't want to talk too much about the other two. I want to talk about the other people who make up that 45 to 51% of the population. It's okay to have our ideals. It's okay to have our intellectual debates about different factions and different ideas. But without a victory, without a win, it's not going to amount to anything. And people need, a win will give hope. And I keep saying that I'm becoming one of these slogans myself. I'm saying hope plus action equals change. And we need both. We need that. And the only way we'll see an action is if we get a win here. So my thing would be knocking heads together and saying, first of all, we need to agitate to make sure that when there's these debates taking place, that is Leo versus Micheál, that there's a left wing alternative on the stage, because that's not even been considered by our national broadcaster. They're talking, oh no, it'll just be in terms of the big two.
Yeah.
These things, we need to agitate, whether it's on the streets, it's on social media, it's getting in touch with your broadcaster. You can't rule out a huge portion of the population.
No, more than half the population didn't vote first preference Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael. So there's no basis just to have Leo Varadkar against Micheál Martin. That's not what the electorate voted for the last time out.
But they're successfully already winning the framing debate, where they're saying that this is the battle of these two guys, and who's up and who's down. And it's a smear on democracy, in my opinion, because it doesn't represent the actual full spectrum of the people. And I respect their vote, but they are not showing us any respect.
Yeah, well, this, if you look at globally, if you look at the next 5 years, not just for Ireland, but for every human being on the planet, these next 5 years are the five most important years in human history. And they are. If we don't get to grips with climate change, if we don't fix our societies first, because that's what we need to do, you will never change or prevent climate disaster unless your society is able to deal with it. And a society that's based on consumption, which is what our two main parties are based on, is consumption, is finished. That idea, that notion that there is unlimited resources is gone.
That was what I was saying about getting a win, going after something. And, you know, we can have these people from the different spectrum saying, you know, Labour, Sock Dems, Greens, Sinn Féin, PBP, all of these, the plethora of people who are offering these alternatives. The one thing that unites them is they will tell you that that market solutions haven't delivered any solutions.
I can't.
No, but like, I mean, and the other thing is I'd like to appeal to listeners to do is we always talk about neoliberalism. Let's use their language back at them. Let's call it neoliberalism for the campaign. Let's have him walk around as the leader of the neoliberals, because it is absolutely their ideology. They had an article, if you saw it over the weekend, where they said, we're going to launch our campaign and we have to change our image about not caring about people. Not that we have to start caring about people, but we have to change our image to pretend we care about people.
Get out there and pretend like you give a shit.
Yeah. I saw Don Foster tweeting that they were appropriating the language of Jeremy Corbyn in his.
But we're back to this communications as a virtue lark again.
Yeah, but again, which it's an outrage. The key here, change won't come from those two parties. The change that we need won't come. They'll be dragged there by grassroots. They'll be dragged there by an electorate. It'll be dragged there. It's not radical to think that a family should have a reasonable accommodation, a home, be able to afford a holiday and able to have a child that can pay their fees for colleges or whatever it is, and a bit of healthcare. None of these ideas are radical, but they keep making them sound like a radical. This is not communism we're advocating for.
No,
this is just, this is just the eradication of poverty. And we're in the second highest GDP in the entire EU, and we're sitting here with the highest income inequality in that. There's something wrong with that, and what's wrong with it is that is policy. And it brings us to very quickly to they're out the blocks and they're saying Fine Gael have their slogan. What is it? A future to look forward to?
Yeah, a future to look forward to. Now, I'm going to come at this from an old boss of mine said the best indicator of future performance is past behaviour. Mm. And I think Fine Gael need to be hammered on past behaviour. This is not going to be an election where you can say, don't look back in anger, forget about the past. The future is going to be no better. It's going to be worse if you follow the same model. This is 1 and 1 equals 2. More homeless people, more waiting lists. They haven't done anything except increase these things. So you need a government that can tackle, that will tackle. And there's no point in saying to people, we'll have you off the housing list in 10 years. We'll have you an appointment in 5 years. That doesn't work. Yeah, need now.
But hang on. So we cut through all the slogans. It's all nonsense. They don't want you to look back. They want to look forward. Don't look into our history. Key point I want to make. I'm going to go back to it. I should have hammered it at the beginning. Don't let anybody tell you that there's not that it's only Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael. There is a third way. There is a three way of doing this. There's not the centre right, and then just forget about the rest of them. And the idea that maybe, you know, if the Greens go in with them, they'll somehow pull them slightly to the left.
Let me ask you about this, Tony. And they've talked about who's going to go in with who will go in with who. We know this is a numbers game. If Sinn Féin come back with the right number of seats that they can make up a government, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael will hop into bed with them in an instant. There is no moral compass. There is no... Well, it's all nonsense.
Forget about the moral compass. Forget about their nonsense that they talk. What bothers me most is that they feel fit and proper to say that they will rule out a democratic listening. You know, it comes back to, and again, no one in, very few, I know a few journalists who've actually said, well, actually, if the will of the people is this, the will of the people is this, but it's very few. Like, you're not going to get any of that nonsense out of that. Out of Pat Leahy. Pat Leahy is like sucking the thumb all the time and saying, sure, look, it's nice and simple. But there has to hammer these people and say, no, it is a three-way contest. You know, there are people who want a progressive change. We've seen the potential voter suppression that's happening in terms of the electoral register and people who registered in the last 8 months. Who do young people vote for, Martin?
Well, they don't vote Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, that's for sure.
They vote left and they vote progressive.
Yeah.
And if this was an issue of Leinster rugby supporters, you could rest assured they would find a way around it. They would have kicked the election out by a week or two, possibly, you know. But no, it doesn't suit them. They say, well, you have the supplementary register, go and do it. People are busy. And also, that generation are disengaged because they are the locked out generation.
They're
the people who have been left behind. And this nonsense of, you know, that they look forward, looking forward, hashtag looking forward. All I can think of is hashtag eye roll gone, you know. I'm sick of it. So.
Well, I just want to say Rory put up a tweet there. Rory is our partner in crime here on the podcast, and he put up a tweet where homelessness will be if you follow the path that Fine Gael have laid out. If you go on the figures, and it's well up on the 20,000, well up. Now, is that the society we want? And this is what it's about. This is not about fixing an economy. They're running a surplus, but they're running a surplus because they've made a deficit in human caring. And there's a huge deficit in human caring, and that has to be addressed.
I just want to read that. Rory wrote, a future to look forward to. Over 5 years, homeless children increased by 440%. Another 5 years in Fine Gael government, he estimated, will be over 21,000 homeless children by 2025. Now, again, people can throw whatever numbers they want at us, but we're not messing around here. We're talking about the fact that we're supposed to expect less and then thank them for it by pretending that the last 9 years didn't happen. We're also getting let down badly by a media that is decided it's a two-way race. It's not a two-way race. And we're also lacking some political leadership in of other people actually putting their voices forward and saying, you know what, we will hammer out a deal. You're going to hear from the Portuguese Socialist Party. And what you're going to hear there is the day that the results came out, all of the traditional media said, oh, the coalition works with them, plus a centrist, them, plus...
And the big right-wing parties were celebrating a win until the Communist Party tweeted, but they didn't win. We, on the left, won. But they had assumed that they had won.
But what happened there was you had the Communist Party actually bravely enough saying, we'll go with a centre-left party.
Yeah.
And what that meant was that there was a majority there. And you'll hear the statistics. They've reduced unemployment similar to us. They've reduced their deficit similar to us. They're going to run a surplus similar to us. But they've reduced poverty at rates that we can't get close. They've raised the average wage, the minimum wage
by 50%. Look, we're not even going to tell you anymore. We're going to go into this interview with you. But just remember, Fine Gael have based this on a rosy future. You have to look at what they've done in the past. The best predictor of future performance is past behaviour. And if you don't hear mainstream media hammer them for it, you do it yourself. Thank you.
We're going to get straight into it because we're delighted to be joined on the line from Portugal, João Pina, who was born in 1978 and has been interested in activism and politics since a young age. He was a member of the Portuguese Socialist Youth and at the age of 16 was elected to the Bureau and in 2000 became a member of the Presidium 2004-2008. At the same time, he was elected as the local student union president in Nova University and has been elected re-elected four times. Joe was one of the younger delegates in the Sampia de Nova, but came second in 2016 elections. Since 2014, he's the deputy vice leader of the Socialist Party, which is currently the ruling party and in charge of internal affairs in Portugal. João, sorry about that now, but thank you so much for taking the time to join us. Listen, we come against this narrative in Ireland that there's no, that the first, as soon as we mention left unity, the first item on the agenda is the split. You guys formed a left unity government, and it's actually working very well. The economy is doing well. You haven't chosen the path of austerity. Would you mind sharing with our listeners after the election, how you came to form that coalition?
So, first of all, the problems that Ireland has are the same problems that we have in Portugal as well. For 40 years, the left-wing parties never got along. The left-wing parties never managed to form a coalition government. So the right-wing managed to get united and the left-wing was never united. And then at some point, we had like a bailout in 2011. Mm. And at that point, what happens was that we had 4 years of huge austerity. Our public debt increased a lot. Our unemployment went from 6% to 16%. And at some point, what happened was that we had elections in 2015. And in 2015, the right wing ran united, the left wing did not, and the right wing won the election again. But the left wing parties had the majority of the power. But everyone was saying again that it was not possible for the left wing to be united, because we never got along. And on election night, it was the leader of the Communist Party that went on television at 10 p.m. and said something that was amazing even for my party, because my party is the biggest center-left party, when he came on television and he said, I don't know why the right-wing is celebrating because the left-wing has the majority of the parliament.
So the Communist Party stood up and said, well, we actually have the majority if we work together, yes?
Exactly. So that was what happened on election night. And then the leader of my party decided, let's talk together, and because for the first time in history, it's possible to have a left-wing government. And all the left-wing parties came to the table. It required a lot of compromise because we have parties that are anti-NATO, anti-EU, and my party is in favor of NATO, in favor of EU, and also in the sense that we want fiscal responsibility, we want like public accountability. Some small left-wing parties were more radical in favor of restructuring public debt. We were not, and there was a compromise on the tables. It took us 2 months. But for the first time ever, we have elected a left-wing party that a left-wing government that ended austerity and made sure that in 4 years, Portugal went from bankruptcy to surplus. Mm. Next year, Portugal will have surplus for the first time in their history. And it also ends the myth that the right-wing has good accounts and the left-wing only spends other people's money. It's not true. We can have both. And the question was that austerity doesn't work, and Portugal has proved to Europe and to the world that you can have like more money for pensions, more money for education, more money for health, and still have good public accounts at the end of the year.
See, in Ireland now, our government is running a surplus this year. And it's the first time they've run a surplus. But the surplus came at a cost. It came at a cost of a healthcare system that doesn't work. It came at the cost of 4,000 homeless children, which we've never had before. Did you see similar patterns on the right? And have you been able to get a surplus whilst also providing ample social services?
No, no. We actually increased money for education. Just 2 years, we increased the budget for health service and NHS by, I think, 30%. And our surplus came from tourism, and because we managed to create 400,000 jobs by lowering austerity measures, because we lower VAT for small business and things like that. So what happens was that more people got a job, so less need for benefits. We put the economy starting. Also, tourism helped a lot. So what happens is that we came to surplus without cutting anything. And actually, what happens, that's what the right wing does, which is to reach surplus by cutting valuable services or to increase taxes. We have done neither of those things. We managed to get there just by having a good economic environment, and also by making sure that the economy was a job creation kind of economy that has lower unemployment from 17% to 6%. We lower 11% in unemployment in our country in just 4 years.
I just want to ask about the job creation. Here we have a lot of job creation too, but it's low paid work, it's precarious work, it's the worst end of it. Have you created a different type of work, a more secure type of work?
We are creating both. When to be honest, when you have 20% unemployment, your first task is to create job. Yep. We are having add value a kind of work, like well paid jobs. The Web Summit also that came from Dublin helped a lot.
We know Paddy. Hello? We've had him on here.
Sorry?
We know Paddy Cosgrave. We've had him on here as a guest.
Yeah, I'm with him every year in Lisbon. The Web Summit is going to be here for 10 years now.
Yeah,
it was a great deal.
Also, what we have done is that we have the biggest increase in minimum wage in history. We forced employers to increase minimum wage. Our minimum wage in just 6 years will increase 50% almost.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, 50%. And, wow. And it's decided by the government. The employers for some years agree with that, then they stopped agreeing, and we keep increasing them. So we increase minimum wage 50%. Also, we increase the level of people able to pay IRS, which means that lower income people don't pay IRS in Portugal anymore. Until I think 1,000 euros a month, no one pays IRS in Portugal anymore. So we made sure that the money to put in the economy and to put in public services came from the people that could afford it, and not from the low-income families that were smothered by not having benefits or having too low wages. And we made it in a way. Actually, it's so far it's harmonious. We still have a lot of problems. We still have a problem of cheap labor in some factories, and also the tourism industry is not paying very well still. But we are working on it. Every day we work on it.
Well, what I would say to that and counter that is that Ireland actually has the highest income inequality in the EU28. Which is unbelievable, because we have the second highest GDP. So, you know, we really need to look at that model where you can bring wages up by 50%, minimum wage up by 50%. Our ratio in Ireland currently, I spoke to a social policy officer yesterday who said that for the average worker in some of our big companies, it would take 212 years working to earn 1 year's salary of our CEOs. So
we have a problem in Portugal, which is that because we are increasing so much the minimum wage, the minimum wage is starting to catch the medium wage.
Yes.
So we already said when we formed the second government, because we won the elections last year, is that we want to increase the minimum wage, and employers and the state is starting to do that, and the employers should do as well, is that the people with a degree cannot be getting, like, because if it stays like this, in 4 years, the people with a degree without a pay raise is going to get the minimum approach. So we are working in that thing as well. And the right thing loves to talk about Ireland and Portugal. They love to talk about Ireland, the Irish miracles, things like that. And we usually say that if a person has two chickens and the other one has no chicken, the average is one chicken each. So we're talking about Ireland. We don't look at chickens per person. We look at who has all the chickens and who has none chickens. Because as socialists, what we usually say is that we want an equal society, not by prosecuting the rich, but by ending poverty. We have no problem with rich people, that people that want to be wealthy. We have no problem with that, as long as they pay for their fair share. Mm-hmm. Because our goal is to end poverty. That's the goal that we are doing in Portugal.
Would it be fair?
Actually, our poverty line is lower ever in our history, because we increased unemployment subsidies. We give this year we started paying daycare to all people with children, things like that. We are going to have a friendly environment, because when a society forgets the ones that are weaker, we fail all of us as a society. That's the way at least that my party thinks.
Would it be fair to say that you're measuring success based on how the poorest in your society are doing and not how the richest are doing?
Sorry, you have to ask this question again. Sorry.
Okay. Would it be fair to say that you are measuring success by how well the poorest are doing and not by how well the richest are doing?
Exactly that way. It's by increasing the minimum income. It's by making sure that the poverty line goes lower, that the level of education goes lower, that the poor people have access to healthcare, to education. We are going to abolish tuition fees in Portugal. We have lowered them 20. We are lowering. We cannot do it all at once because we were like bankrupt not that many years ago. But we are lowering tuition fees 20% per year now.
And
so every year is less 20%. Every year less 20%.
And we're
so
raising them year
are,
on year.
Sorry?
We raise them year on year in Ireland. And that's free. That's
because
counted as free.
Society, but people look at us as we should follow Ireland. Mm-hmm. But because they don't talk about those small things, they just talk about your entire GDP divided by all the Irish citizens. The problem is the right thing is that they don't care the way people suffer, because their governance is based on Excel. It's based on numbers. It's not based on problems or poor people. They don't care. They really don't care anymore.
Can I ask a personal question for us? We've had Nuno Capaz from the Lisbon Dissuasion Commission on this podcast, and we speak about the Lisbon model in terms of harm reduction and the drug policies that we do, and we are trying to advocate for safer drug policies in Ireland. Is it fair to say that has been a success as well over the last number of years?
In Portugal, amazingly well. Is that the question is the fact that in 2000 we decided that drug addicts were not criminals, that they were a medical issue, not a criminal or justice issue. So we passed a law saying that everyone that is a drug addict, they should be entitled to treatment, not prison. Mm-hmm. And what happens is that also because people can do drugs if they want. Selling drugs is still illegal in Portugal, of course. Drug trafficking is illegal, and with huge jail time. But the drug addicts, what happens was that, like, the poor things, the bad things that were sold on the streets were gone. We have to remember that in the 90s, Portugal had 3% of this population addicted to heroin. We had 300,000 people addicted to heroin. Mm. And we managed to wipe them all out, to clean them all up, to give them houses and support. And now, we actually one of the countries in the world that has the lowest overdose possible. Why? Because of the quality of the drugs. And also because when you are doing drugs and you go to the hospital, you don't need to lie to your doctor. You can go there. What were you taking? I was taking cocaine. I was doing smoking a joint. It doesn't matter. People can actually say the truth. And when that happens, it gives our medical staff like the advantage to treat them and to make sure that they don't die and to make sure that they save lives. So, and also because drug is so accessible, at least a lot of people that I know that wants to do drugs, they actually try it and they don't continue anymore. We usually say the appetizer comes from the forbidden fruit, and when that fruit is not forbidden anymore, people, sometimes they try it, but we don't have like that much problem. And the Portuguese case, in my sense, is a huge success, and we need to continue for the future.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us. And for
Martin, time, and good luck for the elections. I hope the left wing goes this time. Huh?
We have to say this is a great insight, because we have a short window to the elections. But despite what we read in our mainstream, if we had a united left, we would be every bit as powerful as the establishment parties. So we're delighted that you took the time to talk to us. Thanks so much for that.
It should learn from us that took us 40 years to get along, and since we got together, we never lost power anymore. And 6 years have passed, so it's a good example for Ireland. Thank you very much for helping, and to all your listeners in your podcast, and good luck for the general elections.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon, Gerald. I really appreciate
bye-bye,
it.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening, folks. Please head over to patreon.com/tortoiseshack. These podcasts are taking up a lot of time, and we really need your support to keep them on the road. Talk to you all soon. Thanks. Bye-bye.